In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
After Jesus' baptism, he didn't return to life as normal in Galilee. Neither did he go to Jerusalem to teach the people. Nor does he enter the temple. Instead, led by the Spirit, he goes out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This teaches us two things. One, that Jesus must learn humble obedience. And two, he must overcome our enemy. 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. In our mind, that might be a nice reprieve from the hustle and bustle in which we live. But Jesus is not in the wilderness enjoying the sunsets, the wildlife, or the scenery. He is there to be tempted. And so he begins to meditate on the Word of God. He had just been baptized, so the specific word that fills his mind is this: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That baptismal word is mulled over in his mind again and again as he contemplates what it means to be the Christ, the one anointed not simply with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with power, the one who now bears the sins of the world. Anointed to be the world's substitute. Anointed to bear the world's sins. Anointed to die in the place of all. He is the world's creator. Through him all things were made. And yet the world does not know who he is. He created a bountiful world filled with life, and now he sits in a wilderness. So far had the devil removed creation from God. So he sets aside all glory and might and brilliance and majesty and every divine prerogative to enter that wilderness so he might learn humble obedience. This is the Son of God, the Christ, marked for slaughter. Anointed so that he might be mocked and ridiculed and insulted and jeered and crowned and pierced. He learned humble obedience by what he suffered. As a child, he grew in wisdom and in stature. He learned what it is to be a child. He grew in favor with God and with men. Now he learns humble obedience as an adult, submitting to the word of God. And scripture says he learned that by what he suffered. It's one thing to trust God when a baptismal theophany fills the air. It's another thing to trust God when you have no food, no company, but only the devil, only temptation. So with loud cries and tears, he prayed to his Father in heaven, asking him to deliver and to save him. We catch a glimpse of Jesus' prayers in Gethsemane. But that is his prayer throughout his entire life. He is learning what it is to be the Christ, the one mocked and rejected and insulted, the one men turn away from and want to kill. He is learning what it is as a man, so that the victory that he wins might be for us men and for our salvation. His path was not easy. And yet he believes that it is good. For 40 days, he's preparing himself for his earthly ministry. For 40 days, he's preparing himself for his cross by putting on the full armor of God, meditating upon that word of God, and wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times. He knows all that will happen. Nothing catches him by surprise. He is, in fact, the eternal God. But now he has opportunity to exercise his faith in God. By suffering these temptations, he is learning to trust God as a man. So the devil would not have tempted him so much if he were not the Son of God. Who else has the devil asked to turn stones into bread? Who else has the devil taken to the heights of the temple and asked him to jump? Who else has been on top of the mountain to see all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor? And so ironically, the way the devil tempts Jesus is vindication that he is the Son of God, because he can turn stones into bread. He possesses all the kingdoms of the world, and the angels operate at his command. So why does Christ refuse? Because his Father had not yet given him such things. He is learning humble obedience to the word of God. He is learning to wait for God's timetable, not his own. He is learning how to pray. And Jesus overcame all of these temptations not with divine bolts from heaven, but in prayer, with the word of God as a man, so that that victory might be for us men and for our salvation. The devil attacked and Jesus trusted. His belly ached and Jesus trusted. A different way other than the cross to gain the kingdoms of the world, yet Jesus trusted. A different way to show himself to be God, yet Jesus trusted. Jesus had the opportunity to exercise his trust in God by humbly submitting to the will of God. Yes, he is holy and sinless and perfect. He is that because he is God, but now we have the opportunity to see him as holy and sinless and perfect, overcoming every temptation. Jesus, throughout it all, believed that God was good. Jesus, throughout it all, believed that the cross, the way of the Father, was good. Thus he remained perfect. He knows what temptation feels like because he has been tempted like you in every way. And so he is able to help you when you find yourself in the midst of temptation. Baptism has changed everything for us. The heavens were open, the Spirit of God came to descend on us, and the Father declared us to be his beloved sons, with whom he is well pleased, heirs of heaven, co-heirs with Christ of eternal things. But then the Spirit leads us out there into a wilderness where the devil reigns. The devil does not rule hell. The devil rules this fallen world. And God sends us back out there. As Christ learned obedience by what he suffered, so we also must learn humble obedience. And very often that comes about by what we suffer. The Christian life is not necessarily one of ease and comfort, though at times God does give us such things, thanks be to God. But it also is a time of temptation, of learning humble obedience and prayer. We all confess that the Word of God is true and right. But in the midst of temptation, we have opportunity to show that money and food is not our life. They're not needed for this earthly life. What is needed is the bread of life. When tomorrow becomes uncertain, we know that we should not test God by questioning why would he do this. But now we have opportunity to exercise our faith by folding our hands and praying to our God, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, regardless of what may come tomorrow. The Lord is good in what he does." You believe that God alone is to be worshipped. And right now you have opportunity to exercise that faith by receiving the forgiveness, life, and gifts that God desires to give you. Learn from Jesus. For he is gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What the devil means for your harm, God will use for your good, so you let go of this world more and more, and you cling to his word. The devil wants you to curse God and die. God wants you to pray. The devil wants you to help God along. God wants you to pray. The devil wants you to do your part. God simply wants you to pray, clothed with the armor of God, that is, meditating on that word of God day and night. We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and what do we do with that sword? Well, St. Paul tells us immediately afterwards, praying at all times. Our focus is not on the devil and what he is up to. Our gaze and attention is directed back to God as we take the very promises of God and pray them back to him, confident that he will hear and answer. So direct your gaze to that word, to the cross, to the Son of God who stands victorious over sin, death, and the grave. All sin is paid for. Death is overcome. And life has been bestowed on you. You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, regardless of what your life looks like. That baptismal promise still rings true. So by prayer, you prevent the devil's attacks. And by prayer, you drive the devil back. Why does God leave the devil here, knowing full well that he will harass us? Why does he leave us here? For two reasons. That we might learn humble obedience, and that we might overcome the devil. Humble obedience is learning to trust the word of God and having that opportunity to exercise that trust. So it doesn't just remain knowledge, but is seen in our life. It's one thing when the Son of God overcomes the devil and crushes his head. But it's a whole nother thing when the Son of God crushes Satan underneath our feet. The littlest among us who can't even walk trounce the devil. The most infirm, who can no longer walk or are in their right frame of mind, still overcome the devil. How? By clinging to that word of God in faith, confident that God is always good. So let us not look over our shoulder, wondering what Satan is up to and what he will do next. But let us rather fix our gaze outward at the Good Shepherd who leads us. Yes, through the valley of the shadow of death, but he leads us nonetheless. Rest secure. Do not be surprised when temptations come. Do not be naive in thinking that they will never come. But rather be ready. Be ready to pray to your Lord and Savior who has overcome the devil already for you. Yes, you're good and godly today. Pray that God may keep you good and godly tomorrow. Yes, God's kingdom has come to you today in word and sacrament. Pray that his kingdom will continue to come in word and sacrament tomorrow. And be confident that the Lord hears your prayers. Even if you cannot see a way out, he will deliver you. The bread of life is set before you, for the cross stands true. The grave is empty. Take and eat, as the ministers of Christ serve you the very gifts of your salvation and the answer to your every prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.